141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another big night of European action. Yes, it's the turn of Dundee United and Hibs to try and follow on from positive results last week and progress in European qualification. On that theme, the fallout continues from Rangers on Tuesday through a good result, but lots been said about the performance levels so far. And Brendan Rodgers looks ahead to a trip to Kazakhstan, hoping to make advantage from the home leg count. And yes, even talking about his lack of tie at Pittodrie on Sunday. Joining me this evening, should have got you two to wear ties for this just to mark the occasion, Stephen Naismith and Gordon DL. The nation has been terribly worried about you. You phoned in sick on Tuesday. You phoned me. I have to say, I thought you were on your way out, quite frankly. So good to see you back.
By the way, it's lovely to be back. I've got to say, I missed the show on Tuesday night. I sat and watched you guys last night, very thoroughly entertained when I turned it off. and I've got to say, I'm looking forward to a big night in Europe. And can we congratulate this man being the assistant manager of Scotland now? Have we done that?
No, I should have said that's a misstep by me. You know, I should have said new Scotland assistant manager.
Highlight for us, Stephen Naismith.
How good is that?
That's good, eh?
It's good, eh? Do you have a wee coffee to celebrate and make yourself a wee loaf?
But I mean, we booked him before we found out that news, so it's just a nice coincidence. So we get the world exclusive reaction. How you looking forward to it, seriously?
No, it'll be good. I think it was the first time round, it was a brilliant role for me where I was. And for me this time, slightly different in that I've not got another position. And I think the group is doable to get to a World Cup. I think that's the biggest thing the manager's striving for, and also the players. They've made 2 Euros. A World Cup would be lovely, so it'll be. I'm looking forward to it.
Is it an exciting time? Because you probably saw the earlier stages of Steve Clarke. This is, as you say, it's now a group that's been at a couple of competitions, and it would be nice for you to go and help the nation get to the World Cup.
Yeah, the first time round, I think a lot of them were at the early stages of their international career, and how they flourished. I missed out in the first Euros as a player just coming to the end. The second one I don't go to because I take the Hearts job. Third time lucky, hopefully get a tournament with Scotland. So no, it's good. Everybody's much more experienced and really.
And so how does the role work? Have you started, or does it just start when the next camp comes around, which is only what, 2 weeks away, I think? Is that when it officially starts, or do you need to now go and watch players in the next couple of weeks?
There's a bit of that. And the managers, obviously, there's a couple of new appointments. With it being the start of a campaign, you want to make sure it's the starting point when you meet up, because there'll be some players that haven't been in the squad for a wee bit. There'll be some new faces potentially, and it's the start of what is the bigger picture getting to the World Cup. So, looking at the games in the next couple of weeks, and then obviously the squad will come out couple of weeks in Tuesday.
And you spent last Thursday night in here with you and came back for more, which is miraculous. I thought that would have been enough to put MD off.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Everybody used to tell me it was boring. I used to say, no, not at all. I think he's very interesting. And to be fair, off camera, you're the best half there. Your coffee, your bread, everything about you. Now,
took a bit of advice as well. I've not brought a rucksack tonight.
No rucks at that.
That cut you deep last week, didn't it?
I did notice that. And we're playing golf tomorrow, so it's all happening.
Poor Mark Wilson. You've forgotten all about him.
To be fair, he'll be listening tonight. I got a phone call on Tuesday and I just dinged the call, right? Because I wasn't feeling that great. He phoned me last night and his opening words were, I'm glad you answered. I thought you'd passed away.
Do you know what is bothering me, right? So you were sick. Yeah, without oversharing at dinner time, physically sick, really struggling. Yeah. You sounded terrible. So usually when people come off the back of that, they look after themselves a bit. I've walked into that office and you're sitting on the couch drinking a Bovril as your pre-match preparation.
Yeah, because I've not eaten a lot and it just felt, I can't drink my coffee.
I just feel like if I'd had a dodgy tummy for the last few days, as you put it, I just don't know if I'd be sitting with a big Bovril before coming on. Roasting out there as well.
No. But it's not roasting in here, but it's settled my stomach a little bit. So we're all ready to go.
Anyway, Scotland's new assistant manager, Stephen Naismith, and a man who drinks Bovril to get over his sickness. It's quite the combination. They're here tonight and they're waiting for you. 01419511025. Maybe you've got a suggestion for who Stephen should suggest gets called up for the Scotland squad. I suspect, more pressingly, you've still got European football on your mind. The depth of reaction to Rangers the other night has been quite incredible. So much said about some people wanting to focus on the result and progression, other people worried about performance levels, players are getting questioned, tactics, managers getting questioned, all sorts going on. So I don't think last night was enough to cover it. If you've got any follow-up thoughts on that, please do share them on 01419511025. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers speaking about trying to make the home leg count, because Celtic faced that 7,000 mile round trip to near the Chinese border for their Champions League qualifier. What do you make of that? You've got Falkirk in the cup tomorrow night, and yes, signings again. You can hear his latest thoughts on that. And who knew that this show was as agenda setting as it is? Monday night we get a call about Brendan Rodgers' lack of tie at the game at Pittodrie, and today the man himself addresses the issue at his press conference. So there we go. 01419511025. And Stephen, tonight I'm quite excited to see what Dundee United and Hibs can do. Can they both progress? Are we certainly in a strong position for at least one of them to progress?
I think so. I think both of them will be confident. Dundee United, being at home, watching the game last week, it wasn't as if it was backs to the wall and they were lucky. I think they held their own. They defended well last week, speaking about organisation and the way Jim Goodwin does that, and it's a big part of his team, was clear. They got goals at the right time, and I think that, so they'll be confident at home. Obviously Lucas Stevenson coming back in and loan's a massive boost for them. I know he'll not be able to play, but just being part of it is exciting. And then for Hibs, brilliant performance last week, being at home, sell out crowd, and the start they've had in the season, they'll be really confident.
I fancy Hibs strongly. I agree. I watched the part of the game with Dundee United. I thought they played very well, well organised. I still think that's a danger. I do. I think they're decent. But you've got home advantage, packed house. So fingers crossed that Dundee United can do the job, but I really do think that Hibs will go and finish that off. I think they're in a comfortable position. They've got guys that can score goals. They're playing with a lot of confidence now. So, yeah, for me, Hibs definitely. Dundee United, they really need to be at it tonight.
Okay, what do you think out there, 01419511025? If we've got any Hibs or Dundee United fans with thoughts on the games, we'd love to hear them. Any thoughts on Brendan Rodgers' neckwear accessories? Feel free. More pressingly, perhaps, transfers and Kazakhstan in the Champions League qualifier. And the fallout continues from Rangers on Tuesday. With that in mind, let's dive in with Joe from Cambuslang. How are you, Joe?
Good evening, panel.
What are you thinking tonight?
Just same as always, just a bit, just very disillusioned with Rangers, as I normally am when I call up. I've been listening during the week. I was going to call in, but I didn't. But I just think this thing about the mass hysteria with the Rangers fans saying we're panicking and all the rest of it. We're not panicking. We've seen this all before. We've seen it all before, and I suppose you could say we are panicking because we've seen it all before. We know what's going to happen. We know it's an absolute shambles, and we just don't see it getting better. What we have been served up just now, and I know we can talk about a rebuild. Yeah, we're in a rebuild phase, but let's be honest. In the last 5-6 years, we've had more rebuilds than Persimmon. It's a joke. It's an absolute
yes,
joke.
Joe's been working on that.
Exactly.
He could have gone
his wimpy or something.
He could have gone any house builder. He's gone.
I could have used any, but I'd just seen a Persimmon sign earlier on, so I thought I would use that one. But it's honestly, I mean, we're getting served up the same drivel week in, week out. Russell Martin hopefully doesn't go down the road of using the Philip Come On playbook at the end of games where he says, oh, we're playing great and all the rest of it. Now, he comes on the other night after that game and said Danilo was fantastic. And I'm watching that game thinking, what game are you watching, mate? I mean, Danilo is atrocious. There's no end product. He offers nothing to that Rangers team. Nothing to that Rangers team at all. Now, the Rangers fans, we've been loyal for what we've been through the last 12, 13 years. We've been down the third division watching that dross we had to watch, now going away to Albion Rovers, etc., etc. We've stuck by them. every year they send out the season ticket renewals, they send out my jerseys, they want £80 a top for the Umbro tops. We're all piling in, we're all paying it. We are doing our part. We are doing our part as usual. We are doing our part. It's time Rangers Football Club delivered for the fans because they're not doing it. Now, Russell Martin, as I've said when I've been on before, underwhelming appointment for me. Underwhelming appointment, but he's been appointed. He's got the blue, obviously there's a bit of the shirt, he's got the blue on his back, and I will support him, but we're getting to the stage, he's going, I mean, you hear all these things about down south, about how he couldn't adapt his tactics, he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. He should be gradually trying to implement his style of play, going by the players that we already have at Ibrox. John Souter is an old-style defender, head, block, kick. John Souter is not Cannavaro or Nesta or Virgil van Dijk that's going to play out for the back and play silky soccer. That's just not happening. We need to play a formation and a style with the players we have, and then he can gradually work it in. I mean, I'm not a football coach. I mean, he obviously knows more than me, apparently. But he needs to gradually bring in his style, gradually bring in his style of play and what he wants. He should realise by now we don't have the players to play the style of football that he wants.
Right, let's let the guys come in because you've covered a lot of interesting ground. Very generally, what have you made of the fallout then? Because imagine you hadn't seen the game Tuesday, you didn't know the result, and you sort of heard the tone. You would assume Rangers had been put out of, you know, the qualifiers. But to be fair to Joey's, you're entitled to look at performances as well. So
100%,
what do you think?
100%. For me, this was always going to happen with Russell Martin coming in as the Rangers manager because we get phone calls the minute I get the job. A lot of people like Joe, and to be fair to Joe, he is saying, look, he's a manager, I'm going to support him, rightly so. But I don't think he was a lot of the Rangers fans' first choice. Now, when that happens, as you as a manager, and then all of a sudden you get back to 9-10 players, you've got to hit the ground running, right? It's as simple and straightforward as that, a club the size of Rangers. Because Joe's right, they've been down this road before, they don't want to see it again. The only thing I will say is, to fairness, because we've been in the game, I think you've got to give them, buy them a bit of time here. I don't think you can just keep going and saying, right, okay, we're hardly into the season. Motherwell, on the day, were good, right? Let's be honest. And you would expect Rangers to beat, but Motherwell, good, give them credit. You'd certainly expect them to beat Dundee, and well done to Stephen Presley. Tactics were right, whether you like it or you don't like it. He's qualified in Europe. They look like they're a bit slack at the back. They're going to lose goals. I just think you've got to give him that bit of time to build his way into it. You're right, you've got to see a style of football. Rangers fans want this demand of winning games. They pay their money, as Joe quite rightly says. You get one at Souter, right? The one thing I will say about Souter is he's probably the only one that's trying to break in there and go and play passes. Now, for me, I don't think Souter looks comfortable on the left side. I think the balance of defence, he's brought in some defenders, but they look like they're easy to score against just now. So it has been a tricky start for him, and he's got big, big games coming up because he's got Bruges, St Mirren, and Celtic, and then Hearts at home.
See, the only thing I would say, Stephen, about... Fine, look, there's a comment about Danilo that Joe wants to disagree with, which is fine. But see, generally, because I know a lot of previous managers have been accused of polishing it and saying it's been good when it hasn't, I haven't detected that from Russell Martin. It sounds like he's acutely aware of...
I think he's been pretty honest a lot of times. I think that the bits that probably come across, first of all, I would say you're totally right in terms of the backing. That's probably where a root of the frustration come from, because the backing is 100% every year with the strips, the season tickets. The one thing that's different about this summer, I would say, is change of ownership, board, change of direction in terms of picking a manager that's got a clear style. History has shown in the last three clubs it's been the same. And as you say, there needs to be time with that. The previous managers got time because they were a new manager. I don't think Michael Beale or Clement's style really came in and you've seen a clear style of what they wanted. The frustration definitely comes from, and Russell Martin said that himself, elements of the Motherwell performance aren't acceptable. Elements of the performance during the week there aren't acceptable. The slow start at Dundee isn't acceptable.
But with all this change of players, style, it is going to take time. I agree, Rangers look vulnerable when they're building up, and they look as if they could concede goals a lot. But if you look at your Southampton team, MK Don's team and Swans team, at the start of his reign, he'll concede quite a few goals, but it's because they're asking the defenders to make high, high risk decisions.
Can I get your, because you know John Souter very well, so he is getting a lot of criticism for some of the stuff on the ball at the moment, but that was always his sort of strength, was certainly driving out with it. What are you making,
I think,
of the role?
On the ball, John Souter is a good defender and he's good on the ball. I think it doesn't help when a right-footed defender's on the left, because like the Dundee sending off, your body shape and how you're receiving the ball and how you're playing the ball slightly off. So it is tougher for him, but he is capable. The one thing about John Souter, though, as I know, is he'll be a leader within that group. He's straightforward. He can accept the criticism when it comes, and he understands when it's not good enough. But when you're asking a centre-half to drive 30, 40 yards into the opposition half and play line-breaking passes, it's going to take time, and you are going to get caught out in the process of trying to get to the end point where the manager wants you to be good at it. That's where Rangers are at the moment. They're giving up chances. Even the chances that don't come to it the other night are coming from what people go as, why are you playing that pass? But that is ultimately the end point of Russell Martin's style. If that pass is made, it gives you the opportunity to go and score a good goal. And that's what he's building to. There's going to be mistakes, and it's a hard watch at times. I get that.
More rebuilds than Persimmon, says Joe in Cambuslang. Other house builders are available. Chris is also in Cambuslang. What's your thoughts on it all, Chris?
Evening, gentlemen. It's frustrating with the Rangers fans. They seem to think it's going to be an overnight success. We could bring any manager in world football in, and it's not going to change within, 5-6 weeks Russell Martin's had. Fair enough, it wasn't the appointment everybody wanted, but we've got a new board, we've got new staff in the boardroom, we've got new owners, we've got new coaches, a bunch of new players. We really need to stop one instant success, because it's just not going to happen. We need to look and see, this is where we were, and we've come in and give these guys a chance. And it's just frustrating, everybody expecting it to happen within a couple of weeks. It's just not possible with any manager in the world.
Yeah, I know this is maybe a bit of a boring way of looking at it, but it does just feel like everything's getting a bit more like this. Everything's a bit more reactive. Everything's a bit more knee-jerk. So you then throw into the mix that it's already one of the most intense football environments. It does feel like
social media at breaking point. Has brought instant success. You need it, or you need to constantly be driving better every year. And when you're at a club like Rangers, where the minimum's winning, it's a hard arena to step into to get into your stride. It's probably like jumping on the travelator at the start, and you need to get their legs up to speed as quick as you can, but it's tough because you need to win and everybody expects you to win.
I think, again, Gordon, I always make a real conscious effort not to tell specific fans of that club how to feel, because they're emotionally invested in it and I'm not. I do think, though, is it worth bearing in mind that Russell Martin is here for a reason? They hired him for a reason. There's a rebuild for a reason. That this is not a football club that's been successful recently. So ultimately, he kind of has to just come and do it his way and see in the end up, see if it isn't good enough. He'll know as well as we do that, you know, he will be the one that pays the price. This notion that by the middle of August, you just need to be doing something different, or you need to be doing something better. It's not like this is a club that's had success recently. So really, you're as well sticking with it for a bit.
Yeah, and what doesn't help is the fact that they're looking at these fixtures coming up, and in 2 or 3 weeks, they could be looking, Rangers fans coming on here saying the league's already gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is where the frustration lies for Rangers fans. They've thought right away that with the new owners and the new direction, the way the board's structured now, right, get the manager in, he's getting backed with players. I think every Rangers fan looked at the fixtures and thought, well, we're off to a great start here. Build momentum. It's not happened so far. And that's where you're right when you say, when you get into a club the size of Rangers, expectations, what's happened before, it becomes a pressure place to play in. There's no doubt in that. Look, they're not going to rip it all up and start again in a month's time. Russell Martin will get time. They've backed him, he'll get time. I said at the beginning of the season, I think somebody come on, had a real go at me. It was the lady Faye Commander, I can't remember her name, Anna or something. And I said that because of what's happening, I didn't fancy Rangers to win the league this year, but I thought it was important to win one bit of silverware, or Russell Martin would not keep his job. She came on an absolute slaughter and said, well, it's a rebuilding job, it could be 2 years or whatever. We're four games in, and Rangers fans are already on not happy.
Chris, very quickly, if you can, though, so you're sort of balancing out the first caller. Are you seeing signs that you think it can head in the right direction, or is it more of a kind of just hoping for the best at this point?
No, in spells there's signs, yes. It's not coming together as a whole yet, but that's going to take time. So in spells, yes. In other spells, no. But we need to stick with it.
Fair enough. That was Chris in Cambus Lang. Other towns and areas of Scotland are available. We've had a few from Cambus Lang already, but give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen Naismith and Gordon DL are here. Join them on the phones if you can, please. 0141 951 1025. Get all your thoughts over there on Twitter as well if you fancy it. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. He's been talking today about this Champions League game coming up away in Kazakhstan.
If we're honest, I think everyone would have preferred the closer team and not so much journey. But no, listen, it is what it is. We've been there before, and the first leg we want to make a real push to set a standard in that game on Wednesday, and then we go there the following week and look to qualify. Such a huge game, big game, and when it comes, we'll be ready for it. We'll do everything we possibly can to make the journey and the preparation, because that's what it's all about. You've got to try and prepare. It's such a mammoth journey, so the preparation is key for that. So after this actual press, we have another sort of meet on that. But the club will do everything we can, I'm sure, to ensure the preparation is as what we would want.
Brian's on the line. Brian, what are you thinking as a Celtic fan tonight?
As a Celtic fan, I have to admit, I was listening to your competitor earlier for the first hour, before obviously switch over when you start. But one of your previous broadcasters, Mark McGee, was on, he was speaking about a conversation he had with his cousin, and his cousin was actually saying, and I tend to agree with him, if Celtic don't sign at least one significant player before the game, I'm actually hoping we go out, because I don't know what they're going to do with this 40 million quid. Is it line their pockets? Is it repair the stadium? Or is it put money away for legal issues? Because it's certainly not going on the team after what the fans wish.
But why would you, even if you thought money wasn't going to be spent the way you wanted it, why would you hope Celtic didn't get it and hope that they went out? That's not a bit sort of counterproductive as a Celtic fan. So what do you mean? Say that again. So if you don't sign a player, don't sign good players, you hope they go out the Champions League?
Yes, I'll tell you why. Because last year, everybody's got to be honest, I'm an honest Celtic fan, we done really well last year in Europe, but look at the positions of teams that we beat finished in that group. I'm a realist, and I think we're going to get somebody. I think we're going to get lose quite a number of games quite significantly if we don't improve the squad. So I'd settle for playing in Europe. And rather than have the directors and Desmond Dermot do whatever they wish with us 40 million, rather than spend it on what it should actually be for.
Spent quite a lot of money last season, though.
Hey, that's probably the problem, because these players haven't been as good as they thought they were going to be. They've decided not to spend more. And obviously, the hope that I've seen Rangers are not performing as well as one would have expected from the Rangers' point of view. They've thought, here's another, we don't have to spend that much money just now. They're not going to do it this season again.
So I've got a very simple...
Europe is a goal for Celtic fans. I mean, it's what is it, 13 out of the last 14 league titles? That gets a bit boring. I know it's good, but it gets a bit boring.
You'll know this better than me, Gordon. When does the squad need to be in for?
Today's... No. You can do it. You can make changes, though, up till I think it's like the day before. The 20th. So it's next Wednesday they play the first leg, the 20th and the 26th.
I think that's a big problem now. Everybody's looking at this game now. Look, I can't tell you too much about the opposition, but I'm sure Brendan... I've not taken a lot of interest in it, but I'm sure Brendan and Celtic fans and everybody concerned will want the job done at Celtic Park, and they're capable of doing that. I know what Brian's saying. I think every Celtic fan's asking the same. Why, especially in the forward areas, why have we not got forwards in? Why have we not got, for instance, some more wingers, maybe another centre-forward? I don't know if Brian's right, because you look at the three players. I like Ingles, right? I know he's not been brilliant, but I think he's got youth in his side, and I think he'll develop into a top player. I think he's got everything to do that. Trusty come in for 6 million. You know, John, it's Liam Scales, sorry, he's taking his place just now. You've then got Adam Meader. For me, this is a massive season for Adam Meader. He's got to start scoring goals. He's got to start scoring goals. And he come in for that 9 million as well. So I don't know if the Celtic board are sitting there thinking, we've spent the gutsy 26, 27 million here. You know, are the better options out there, a better value for our money? I don't know. I always praise the Celtic board because I think they do very, very well running their club. The way their transfer markets are, they've spent money. They bring a lot of money in for their players as well. So they keep that going. But the Celtic fans are a bit like Rangers fans. They've had enough of this. They want to see these signings. And listen, let's be honest, so does Brendan Rodgers.
Is it not a bit extreme, though, to go as far as saying, well, I hope we don't make the Champions League then because, you know, we'll get humiliated or whatever? Because actually, and I take Brian's point, they played some weak teams in the Champions League at points last season, but that's kind of what the new format will do. It's not like the old one where you might, you know, you might get two huge hitters, mm-hmm. you might even get three good teams and you've got no matter what
going
combination
into the Champions
comes
League,
out.
Though, say you go into the Champions League and do lose all your games, that's proof in itself rather than saying, nah, we're not even going to have a chance in Europe to... Yeah, that argument mm-hmm. then becomes dead that, yeah, we haven't been good enough, we've not signed them. But like I said last week, I think by the end of the window, Celtic will have a few big signings, whatever level that may be, but I think they will have them.
Timing is interesting, though, because I asked Brendan Rodgers this today, because we keep saying end of the window, but the other consideration is this tie. Mm-hmm. Now, don't need me to tell you how the calendar works. This tie comes quite a bit before the end of the window. In fact, let's just please answer in terms of where he is on transfers at the moment.
Listen, I'm philosophical about it. I think that the club has always notoriously done business towards the end of the window. And I've said it before, I think that all managers and coaches want the players in as soon as we can, because pre-season is for preparation and you want to be as prepared as you possibly can be. But like I've said, if the players we get in or not, what I know is that the players that are here have, you know, what has gone unnoticed a little bit is that we've made a really good start. You know, we've had two really good wins, played well. I know we'll get better, and but I can't knock the performances over the two games to get the results. And sometimes that has been clouded a wee bit in all this sort of negativity around the transfer. So I'm really just trying to focus on the guys that are here. Lots of stuff going on in the background, and then hopefully we can come out of the end of the market in a good place.
Thank you to Brian. What about Andy on the other line? Take it away, Andy.
Good evening, Gordon. How you doing, man?
Good. You?
Evening, Stephen. Good evening, Dazzler. How you doing?
Evening.
Just firstly, good luck to Tibbs and Dundee United tonight. Mm-hmm. Hope three of them can smash it. Just an observation, Gordon. Every time the headline comes out about success, it's followed by the statement, a 7,000-mile trip, which isn't the ideal. I actually think it's a tell you why. Kaira, I don't know how you pronounce her name. They've travelled to Bratislava through the week. They've also got a game on Saturday. Then they're travelling to Glasgow. A game between their two games. And then we travel over there. So I think in terms of the benefit, I think Celtic have got a benefit out of the travel because they travelled last week. The question I've got, first of all, I should have said congratulations on the job, Nazy. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Very well. But listen, the question I've got, mainly for you, mate, is in terms of preparation, right? I'm starting to wonder, why are Celtic playing the game against Livingston at home and the weekend between these two fixtures? Brendan Rodgers just said, it's all about preparation, right? Which means tomorrow night they're definitely going to need to play their full strength team. So there'll be no squad shuffling around the morning. I don't believe you've got to put the team that's going to start in the game on Wednesday the morning night. Why take the risk in playing the Livingston game when they don't really need to? I just wondered your views on that.
For me, up until that first international break, if you look, I think everybody will agree, there's not many teams playing at their absolute top performances. Mm-hmm. So as much as you went through a pre-season, games and competitive games, you only get that sharpness through doing them. Now, I think that if I was a manager at the moment, I'd play the games because you get to that window by, regardless of how many games you play from now to the first international break, you're not going to burn your players out. Effectively, they're still getting to that sharpness that you see throughout the season. So I think that's probably why. Plus, he'll believe any squad that if somebody did get injured, well, take the home game that McCown scores in. If somebody got injured and McCown came into the starting team, you could probably say he deserves to maybe get that, but the competition at the time just keeps him out of the team. So the managers will be looking at it from that point of view.
He was asked about it, Gordon. So this is the fixture that teams had the choice to postpone. Now, it's been well publicised this week. Rangers have now sort of reinstated, if that's the right word, the St Mirren game. They've withdrawn their request to postpone it, and everyone was talking on Tuesday because they don't want to fall behind Celtic ultimately. Brendan Rodgers was asked today, you still sure about the Livingston game, given that you've got this trip to near the Chinese border? And he answered pretty much, you know, what Stephen said there. At this stage of the season, he thinks they would benefit more from playing than resting. That's probably it in a nutshell.
Well, he said that in his
interview. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, 100%. I think Stephen's right on the mark here. He said that in his interview. He said there, we'll only get better. You only get better by getting more sharpness into your players, more game time, whatever. Yes, there's always that concern. You can pick up an injury or two. But you're right, you mentioned there, Luke McCown coming in. You've got Ingles, you've got players like that. So he's got players that can easily come in and play against other teams, because that's what Celtic are built on. A big squad, yes, which will highlight it. They need some more players in the door. Of course they do, because the amount of games they play over the course of a season. But I totally agree. If I was Brendan Rodgers sitting there, I would be taking the Livingston game all day long.
But you think the Saturday, Tuesday is too much with that length of trip, Andy?
I probably disagree with the guys, and who am I say that enough, but I'll tell you what both of them
say. That's what they're here for, don't you apologise for that?
Normally they're bang on. You get the games, you get the minutes under the belt, and you're at your peak sharpness when you go and play that game, right? Whether playing a game and then travelling that distance or impacting the league, I don't know. I'm no medical, but I will tell you this. What Stephen said there, Steve, at Celtic, a big enough squad. At the moment, we don't have enough striker. We don't have another centre-forward, and we're short of a winger, right? The worst-case scenario, we play against Livingston, either Maeda, God forbid, or Ida, which hopefully we've brought a replacement in by that point. If we haven't, and either they can get injured, it'll be complacency by the board and the manager.
But that's your point. I think that, obviously, I think Brendan Rodgers changed his tune a little bit in the last month. I don't think he was too happy with what was happening, but he sounded a little bit more content tonight, knowing that something was going to happen.
Do you think he actually is?
On the transfers, right, this season Celtic aren't in the group stages. So is there an element here of they're waiting to see what happens? Rather, that's happened in the past. And from a business point of view, I think from a board point of view, that's exactly what you'd be sitting thinking, right? Are we good enough to get through this calculated risk and then we'll make our signings?
I think Celtic, though, I think, you know, if you did, because you're right, we talk about this a lot, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, if Celtic not got so much money now that they don't need to take that risk?
Potentially, but are they going to deviate from a plan that they've worked over the last 10 years that's been really successful? Why change the way they've worked as a business? And again, as Brendan Rodgers says, every manager wants them in day one because they get to know everything in their surroundings, all the rest of it. But I think, and going back to the team selection there, I think the Livingston game, I wouldn't be surprised if there's one or two changes in the key areas, because I do agree with your point that there's a couple of areas that if there is an injury, it is an issue, but in majority of the squad, it isn't an issue.
I was thinking that. So Luke McCown did press today ahead of this Falkirk game. McCown, Bernardo and Ingles all sit on the bench at the moment.
It's not bad, is it?
So that area's quite stacked.
Front area is
but Andy's right about the other areas. Just on something you said, though, you said you think Brendan Rodgers has changed his tune. He sounds a bit more relaxed. Can I be a bit more cynical and suggest that maybe it's a bit more deliberate, though? Maybe he's made his point and now he's decided to sort of leave it there rather than he's had a mood change over it, because he's not gonna come out and batter the board every week.
No, right? But of course
he came out that one day that we all remember a couple of weeks ago. Is it not more that he's made his point and now he just doesn't want to repeat himself?
I think you could be right, but I just think the way Brendan Rodgers acts, I think he knows that there's players coming in that he's probably wanting.
You weren't involved in Kazakhstan 3, Scotland 0, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Good. I was just double checking there. Just wondering your experience. You take it you've never. What's the furthest you've travelled?
The Greece games were travel wise and
for even, see, when you talk about travel, the travel isn't just the amount of miles from one to the other. It's how far the airport is it away for the bus journey from when you land. It's all these things. Now, see, for every club in Europe other than Rangers and Celtic, it's probably a bigger issue. Celtic players are used to it. There's full internationals. So again, the manager won't be too concerned because he'll know we're going to need to do this for the next 3, 4, 5 months.
That's an extreme distance, that though. It's as far as UEFA can give you, really.
Yeah, it is. But again, as a coach, you don't want to give off any reason to be an excuse, and it shouldn't be an excuse.
Thank you very much to Andy. Did you ever think the day that Brendan Rodgers would be asked to respond to a Clyde One Super Scoreboard caller at his press conference? Well, he has, and I'll let you know what he had to say very soon, but let me tell you about this first. Tomorrow's the big day. No, not the Cash for Kids golf day that Gordon DL and Stephen Naismith are teeing it up in. £547,000, slightly more important than his golf swing. That is what is up for grabs tomorrow. Someone has to win the lot. It might as well be you. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. The texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For just one entry, text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm tomorrow. Somebody wins the lot, so do not miss out. £547,000. Go to makemeawinner.co.uk.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen Naismith is here, fresh from the announcement that he's going to be in as the new Scotland assistant manager, but he's not forgotten about his new pal, Gordon DL. He's turned up, he's here. He'd remembered the small people before he starts hobbing. It's not a bad gig, that, is it? Every 6 weeks, couple of nights in the Blythewood, jet off.
I used to love the Blythewood.
Few stories for you.
Can't afford it anymore.
No, that's why. No, me, personally, not
that's
a
why he's taking the gig anyway.
He's done outside it, what I used to do.
We wish him well in his new venture. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. Now, let me just set the scene for you. Does anyone who listened to Monday's show on here remember this? So this sets the scene.
He's wore his tie in 85 degrees in all parts of Europe with his suit on. And yesterday he was up at Aberdeen. It wasn't really that hot yesterday, you know, but he never had his club tie on. And I think that's alarming. That's not just a silent protest. That tells me, guys, that he's not going to be there next season.
Alarming. It tells George, who was on a Monday, that Brendan Rodgers is not going to be here. Well, Brendan Rodgers has responded.
It's unbelievable. Someone has told me this here. It's like I'm supposed to send him messages as if I've got... It's unbelievable. I wore a jumper. I'm basically like everyone else. Seems it's really hot. Yeah, they take off your jacket or your tie. And see, when it's really cold, you wear a jumper. So I remember last year I wore a jumper. People said, "What? He's sending a message." What message? Bloody freezing. I was sticking a jumper on in my big coat and it was up to there and I'm fine. And last week, there's two grounds of realising my career that are absolutely boiling. If you get it at the time and the sun's hitting your dugout, Pittodrie and Preston. Deeped it, right? I went there once. Before and I get absolutely roasted on the day, and Pittodrie is the same because the sun and it hits you. So I thought, well, I've either take off my jacket or take off my tie. So I took my tie off. So I don't know what message that is. I'm just warm. modern football, eh?
Any thoughts? Any further analysis required?
I disagree. If you're warm, you take off your jacket, your tie, and your shirt, and you stand there.
Topless.
Get a bit of colour about you while you're watching the game. It's incredible, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's Glasgow.
People pick up.
He's not going to be there next year.
Everything.
That's it. Time will tell.
Alarming.
Well, you were a tracksuit manager, weren't you?
Nah, I just kind of wore casual.
The young man. Oh, young you? Manager, isn't he?
Just a
hoodie and a pair of jeans.
Scruffy.
Well, some would say scruffy.
To just to make it even worse, to make it all about me for a second. So I was at the press conference today, right? Now, I don't suppose anyone cares that much, but generally at Celtic's press conference, the broadcast media are in with the written media, the newspapers. The broadcast media will usually sort of sit at the front, the papers will sit behind. So our esteemed colleague Roger Hanna was there. Now he's the gaffer at the Scottish Sun, so I don't know what's gone wrong. Somebody's obviously phoned in sick. He doesn't usually sully himself at going out and going to these press conferences, but he was there. And right at the end, I hear his voice pipe up from the back, and he's the one that says, Brendan, can I just ask you a bit of a daft question? He says, it was all about Gordon's show. He said, Gordon's show. And I'm thinking, do not bring me into this. Like, so Brendan Rodgers is just sort of looking, and then I'm just sort of shrinking down the chair.
Were you concerned?
No, I could tell.
You thought you were getting a bit of
backlash. No, I could tell that he was going to take it in the right spirit. And listen, that's why the Hannaman's the top there. It's all across Sky Sports. Everybody's reporting Brendan Rodgers' tiegate. Things you never thought you would bother with.
What did you wear as a manager?
Oh, you're joking? Have you never seen it?
Hugo Boss
Umbro trackies with the socks.
No, the baggiest suit. The baggiest suit you've ever seen.
Hugo Boss suit. Beautiful. Made to measure.
What, an Italian?
Made to measure. My trousers were out. I was like the B City roller in the 70s, mate. Tartan and everything.
But you're right. That's when I think of him, I think of, you know, those.
What was the goalie that wore the socks over the cotton trousers?
Was it they didn't play up here?
Spironi, no? No. No, it wasn't.
Oh, why is his name dropped out of my head? That's terrible. And played with Crystal Palace. Yeah, you know, it was. Played with Crystal Palace.
I think so, but I have no sure. No, it
wasn't.
I don't think it was an Argo.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, that's what I picture you in as the one with the sort of rugby collar.
I had one of them.
Aye, the kind of, it was a kind of canvas material.
Yeah, it was.
I can just.
What did you do in the sun when that was it? I
I changed all the time, mate. I was superstitious.
Whatever you won the Friday night out.
Whatever I get him in the Saturday morning.
Anyway, let's Andrew McLean, Gabor Kirai, is that how you pronounced it? That's what the grey tracksuit bottoms. Was he Hungarian or something? That rings a bell. Kenny's on the line. Kenny, I don't suppose you want to talk about Brendan Rodgers' tie, probably more transfers and so on.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Before I start, can I just say good luck to both Hibs and Dundee United in their respective ties.
Yep, well said.
I hope they do it for the coefficient. So my head's a Hibs and Dundee United fan tonight.
Go for it. I like it. I like your thinking. What about your own team?
It was just a quick point, guys. I'm just wondering if Brendan Rodgers said that Celtic always do business in the last day of the window. So would that be him telling us that he's waiting until the last day of the window to do business? Or do the guys feel that there is more signings to come, like, before then?
Well, yeah, I mean, you alluded to it, Stephen. It could be that there's a calculation going on where you wait a bit for the Champions League. I suppose you would be surprised if that was the entire strategy, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I think they'll have their yearly strategy that they work off of. And with it, the only part that I'm a bit surprised at is they haven't replaced. They need a striker and Jota's injury. They're the two things that maybe we think, right, we need to change what we have done in the past. That's probably the only area I would have been surprised at.
I agree. I'm surprised they've not got people in already for this game. And there's a lot of fixtures coming up. Remember, when they travel back, they've got Rangers at Ibrox as well. So there's a lot of big fixtures coming up. And Brendan Rodgers alluded to it there. He likes to get the players in and prepare them. But look, here's the argument. Ant-Man comes straight in for Rangers last week, and everybody was raving how good he was, never even met his players. So there's an argument against it. But Brendan Rodgers likes that comfort of getting them in, fitting them into style of play. And I'm a bit surprised they've not got players through the door yet.
Because those areas, I suppose, we're talking about what Celtic need rather than just
add.
And fine tune. Because actually, in the past, Celtic have been able to. Nicholas Kuhn's a great example. When he was first signed, he did not need to hit the ground running because they didn't need him at that point. And the jury was maybe out at the first, you know, when he first came. But then all of a sudden, he can get a full pre-season. He was over his dental issues or whatever it was. But it does feel like there's like a need in those areas rather than just adding 1 or 2% to what's already there.
It goes to the previous caller. What if an injury happens in one of the areas? That's the gamble. That's the whole gamble here. If they get to the end of the window, they get in the group stages, and they make three more good signings, then the club are sitting there delighted with the decision.
What do you think would provide the more entertaining reaction for Hugh Keevans? Yang scores a hat trick in Kazakhstan to send Celtic through, or Yang misses the open goal from 2 yards that sends Celtic out? Which would tip Hugh Keevans over the edge
most? I think the latter there. If Yang missed a chance that put Celtic out.
First time ever, he'll not be listening. Texts me every night.
He'll be listening. No, where is he?
It's his anniversary.
Oh, I know where he is.
Romantic overnight.
I know where he is. By the way, to be fair to the old guy, he is so romantic. It's unbelievable. He sat and told me all about
it. Pushed the boat out.
His whole night?
Yeah.
He's away at Helensburgh.
He's away at Helensburgh.
He's pushed the boat out.
On the bus. The 2 bus passes.
I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you to Kenny. And they'll tell you what, this is why we employ these guys. The knowledge, the insight they've got. Your colleague Ross McCormick is on. He's gone... What are you laughing at?
Just hang up. Don't even listen to that one.
The goalie with the trackies, he says, Gabor Kerai, he was his goalie at Fulham, and here's one for you. His 10-year-old son wears those grey bottoms in the academy games as well.
Ah, there you go.
See, that's an insight you can't give us. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Well, it was a winning debut for Stephen Naismith on Beat the Pundit last week. Played 1-1-1. He says when he joins up with the Scotland squad next week, he's going to take Beat the Pundit in. He's going to read the questions and try and pit them against each other. So we'll let him practice tonight, perhaps. It might be Gordon Dalziel. It has to be one of you. There is a signed ball up for grabs. And obviously, the money can't buy bragging rights. So 01419511025. Lines close at 7. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the second hour with Stephen Naismith and Gordon Dalziel. Give us a call. It's ticking along quite lively this evening. Of course, the recurring themes like Rangers performances and the way it's going so far under the new manager, Celtic's transfer business. Brendan Rodgers' tie is a new one, but nevertheless, we heard from him just before the break. It's a big night for Scottish clubs in Europe. Dundee United in a solid enough position, Hibs in a very good position. It would be great if they would both progress. We'll build up to kickoffs there. And anything else, please get your calls in. Stephen, of course, going in as Scotland's assistant manager very soon. If you have any early thoughts on that side of things, get your calls over and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. Stephen Naismith, you've played how many times for your country?
51.
Won quite a few trophies in your day, played for biggest clubs in the country, played in the English Premier League. Anything compared to the nerves of your first Beat the Pundit performance?
I thought you were calm, mate. See, if I was you, I'd only played 50 games for Scotland. That 51 doesn't sound good.
Why?
What are you on about?
Play as many as you can,
no? No, but...
Or leave it at a nice round number.
Nah, 50.
That sums you up.
Brownie that, sounds good.
Brownie done that.
Is he bang on 50?
No, oh, no, right. And then he went back.
Oh, I went back.
I think Hutts might be the same. Hutts maybe 50.
Right, okay.
Mm. I'd have finished at one.
Why, what difference does it make?
I don't know. I don't like that 51. How did you...
Do you obsess over the volume on your TV? Doesn't it be a certain...
Yeah.
Aye.
Odd or even?
Always even.
I was going to say, I've never met anyone that goes odd.
That's
if there was somebody
asked
that would buck the trend, it would be him.
It's always got to be even.
Is it Aaron or Aaron? What are we going for on the phone lines?
It's Aaron.
Aaron, that's fine. See, Max has come up here and messed things up. Mm. I knew he would get mispronounced all over the place. He's Aaron's, isn't he? Mm. I sometimes find myself slipping into the habit. Have you ever played before, Aaron?
Just along on the radio.
Ah, exactly. And it's, how does that usually go for you?
My older knowledge isn't great, but my recent knowledge, I think, is okay.
Are you a young man? Is that why?
Yeah, I'm 30.
Ach, youngish.
Easy tiger. That's no nice. Young.
No, I was going to say.
Who are you?
I'm 38.
To think about that there.
Because I'm 39 it? Soon, that's why.
How soon are we talking?
Next birthday.
September.
No, like tomorrow.
Next birthday.
Well, you're shocked when you thought he was what?
A wee bit older. No disrespect.
He's played a couple of years ago.
That's a cheap shot. Abbott Milner's still playing. Which 30, where 39.
Are you? Who was your last club?
Oh, you are useless.
No, you're on the radio every night and you don't know who my last club
no,
was.
No, what is it?
Hearts.
Oh, I thought you only managed Hearts. Didn't play for Hearts.
What is wrong with this guy?
Like, I was at Hearts for 4 years.
Yeah, what a big impression you made in me.
He used to do this with Mark Wilson all the time. Oh. He used to turn to Mark in all serious and go, I don't remember you playing for Celtic. This was only a couple of years ago. This was only a couple of years ago.
4 years.
See the COVID year.
Yeah,
that was my last season.
Oh right, I don't remember back to then.
Right, anyway, on the blue side of the coin, It's Everton blue for Stephen Naismith, and in the red, it's red for his nose. Like,
yeah, you're okay.
Well, you said yesterday you got sunburnt. Yeah, told me.
Yeah. That's because my nose is nearer the sun than them.
Well, I think you keep moving this way. Time it's on
right. 2 weeks in, he's fine.
Sure,
he's comfortable. Getting comfortable now, isn't he? Right, okay. Let's see how we go. Oh.
Yes,
it's Mr. Sunburn himself.
It was always going to be me. Did you see the way you flicked over to the right?
No, done, I nearly dropped it. I'm saying he'd done right there, because you would always flip it.
Yeah, I had to. I nearly dropped it.
Okay, let's
flip
go
it over.
Aaron or Aaron?
Aaron against Gordon DL. Let's give Gordon something else to listen to. Aaron, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds then. Going on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Dutch club did Cyril Dessers and Danilo both play for?
Feyenoord.
Former Celtic player Ismail Assoro is on trial with which Premiership club?
Oh, I saw this as well. Ah, oh, pass.
What's Alloa's nickname?
The Bees.
Name any ex-Scotland player managing in Scottish League One.
Pass.
Which of Scotland's opponents at the 82 World Cup no longer exists as a nation?
Pass.
Who's the top scoring Scotsman in English Premier League history? Quick.
English Premier League history?
Yep.
I can't even think of Scotland there, Pat.
Right, okay. Oh, Gordon DL, let's bring him back.
How long do you want to give him to answer that
I wasn't
question?
Sure if I maybe
how
was.
How did you know that? How long it was taking?
Because I could see his face.
I was probably quite generous with Aaron's time.
Oh, I could tell. I time it, mate. 30 seconds on the clock. Watch this, I'll get 27.
Are you pointing to your golf watch? There's a big clock up there that ticks down. There's a big clock over there.
Clock's all
right. You ready?
Yeah.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Which Dutch club did Cyril Dessers and Danilo both play for?
Eindhoven.
Former Celtic player Ismail Assoro is on trial with which Premiership side?
Hibs.
What is Alloa's nickname?
The Wasps.
Name any ex-Scotland international managing in Scotland's League One.
League One, managing in League One, John Rankin.
Which of Scotland's opponents at the 82 World Cup no longer exists as a nation?
That's you, Rio.
Ecuador. League One, who's in League One?
Is it Gary Naismith, no?
Ah, great shout.
I knew that question would produce a good answer from you. Because Aaron just
Rankin.
Passed, but I knew you wouldn't pass. No, I meant the Ecuador one. Right, the Dutch club that Dessers and Danilo both played for was Feyenoord.
And I said
Feyenoord. 1-0 Aaron.
I'm in trouble already.
Ismail Assoro is on trial with
Falkirk.
Don't say 2-0.
No.
Right, okay.
Remember him? Yeah. Ismail Assoro.
No.
Seriously?
Do you know? Are we number 6?
No.
Celtic. The sort of end of kind of Neil Lennon era.
No. Shall we rest
the second
Falkirk?
Time.
And when Ange came in, he moved on, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seriously don't remember that? Right, we've now found. I know you don't remember much, but the COVID era is clearly your black spot then. You don't remember him playing for Hearts, what he did for 4 years, and the smile of sorrow, no?
Yeah, two of them are the same for me.
Going to strike genuinely, because I know like you might be accused of playing up to the character. You seriously don't remember him playing for Hearts?
No.
Shut up, come on.
I thought he managed Hearts.
Well, he did manage Hearts.
I can't remember him playing
for Hearts. What's wrong with this guy? Alloa's nickname, Aaron, you were so close.
Oh, Dazzler's back in the game.
Yep. Aaron said the Bees.
I was going to say the Bees.
The Wasps won all. The Scotland internationals managing in League One, Gary Naismith or Paul Hartley?
Oh, Paul Hartley.
None of you got it. Which of Scotland's opponents at the 82 World Cup no longer exist as a nation? Ecuador.
Is it right?
Surprisingly, no. Who knew that Gordon DL's grasp of nation states was going to be his undoing? No?
Czechoslovakia.
Soviet Union, USSR. Nah.
Nah. He never got that either, did he?
Well, obviously not, because he just threw in.
Are there any more questions left?
Aaron got one more.
No.
That was extra time again.
Exactly, I told you, mate.
I was nervous.
I'm not having this.
I was nervous because I thought you'd be 3-0 up and it wouldn't matter.
What was your question?
Who's the top scoring Scotsman in English Premier League history?
Top scoring
Kenny Dalglish, no?
No, English Premier League.
Oh, so for 92.
Oh, probably Big Dunk or somebody.
Is it?
Duncan
it is.
Ferguson.
Oh, that's a good
He better not have got that. I'm telling
no
you.
No chances he got that.
I'm telling you, you're cheating. I should have got that question.
Aaron didn't get it right.
What, after 5 minutes? He could have Googled it quicker.
So
that's a tie break.
That is a tie break.
I'm the worst tie breaker in the world.
So is this fastest?
No, it's a closest two. So here's the deal. I'll ask the question, Aaron. I'll get Gordon to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay.
Right, the question is this. How many yellow cards have there been in the Scottish Premiership so far this season? Write it down, please. Okay, what are you going for, Aaron?
44.
44, says Aaron. 64,
yeah,
says Gordon
GL. A lot of yellow cards.
One of you is only 7 out.
Yes!
Yes! You know it's you.
Oh, guaranteed.
Well, the other one's only 13 out. So there's not much in it.
Come on. You know it makes sense. You know it makes sense. You know it makes sense.
It's 57.
Yes!
I'm devastated.
Oh, 100% record, 22.
I'm devastated. That's 57.
Come on.
No, what was your thinking then, just a complete guess? Were you trying to figure out the number of games, or what was your...
I only played 2 games.
I worked in when I was born and added 2.
Anyway, hard lines, Aaron. He's done you in the tiebreaker. It's a cool way to lose, isn't it?
That's all right. I was poor.
You were, mate.
Well,
hey, I've got a shine ball. You haven't.
Who's your team, Aaron?
St. Mirren.
What you made of the start to the season so far?
I was actually really optimistic about the start. I thought our transfer window's been amazing, but we've been quite poor on the ball. Obviously, we've had a tough start to the season and it's not getting easier after the next couple of games, but I think we're all right. I'd be happy at challenging for top six, but if we get 7th, 8th, I'd be happy with that as well.
Is that the problem when you set your own bar, Aaron? You go 3 seasons in a row and it's an incredible achievement, but to sort of keep doing that... There's always that school of thought, if you're Motherwell or you're St Mirren or you're Kilmarnock, that the big city clubs really should take 5 of the places. And if they all get their act together at the one season, which they don't always do, it can be very tough to get in that top six, can't it?
Yeah, I think we've been quite lucky over the last 3 seasons where at least one of them's had a poor season and we've capitalised on that. But I think they're all going to do quite well this season. I don't see any of them having a weak team, and I suppose we'll need to see how it goes over the next few games. But they've all started pretty well. Aberdeen's had a tough start, but they'll pick up points.
Here's one for you. Could you see any of the City clubs not making the top six? Who's the least likely, Gordon Deal?
To make the top six?
So Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, Dundee United. Do you think they'll all make top six, guaranteed?
Maybe Dundee United may not.
Okay, Stephen?
I think most likely is Aberdeen.
Wow.
Not to make top six?
Scottish Cup winners.
Yeah, off to a poor start. I can see
the pressure. I think Dundee United have signed well. The expectation on them isn't as great as Aberdeen.
I don't think Aberdeen have got off to the best start.
Although they have just signed a striker or a winger.
Mm. Yeah,
yep. I've not been impressed with them at all, but they've had a difficult opening 2 games, you've got to say.
And of Europe, though.
Yeah.
Tough fixtures so far. Actually, both. A couple of good signings today, I thought, if we're talking about those clubs. So it's Keenan Bilalovic is the Swedish winger that Aberdeen have signed. That's their 8th. And I think still closing in on a striker, or they were hoping to, weren't they? And Lucas Stevenson's gone back to Dundee United. He was there alone last season from Liverpool. He was excellent. Mm-hmm. I think getting him back could be, you know, a really interesting one. So we'll keep an
eye. That'll be a good cup game, St Mirren Hearts. Fancy that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll be feisty.
Go along?
No.
No?
No.
Not that good?
No, I would have went to Partick in here, my old clubs.
Oh, it's the Gordon Deal Derby all over.
I'd love to have went and seen that one.
I actually can't
get tickets.
I'm working, unfortunately, mate.
The links, I mean, honestly, you're a legend at both. Mm-hmm. Partick Thistle fans hate you. So we'll educate you in our ways
Rangers
here.
The fans think about you.
We'll...
but there are more of them.
We'll educate you in our ways. So last season it came to light that he gave an old interview, basically slaughtering his time at Partick Thistle, like saying like just how miserable it was and all this sort of stuff. So we dug it out and we read it out on the show.
Mate, it was the biggest stitch up I've ever seen in my life. I don't know who produced it, but it was a stitch up. I never see it. I love Partick. The Jags are in there.
I play with loads of players that do that. Kiss the badge.
I'm red. I'm red and yellow through and through.
But now your ex best mate before Stephen came along. Your ex best mate is in the dugout with Thistle. You should be at that game. You should be there.
Yeah, I know. But we wish him all the best.
Anyway, I had a. Just to tie it in actually with the Duncan Ferguson question, obviously scored a lot of his goals at Everton. AS Roma Collection has tweeted in to say, good to hear Naismith on tonight after his big performance at the weekend. You were playing in the, you played at Everton's new stadium in the Legends. How was it?
I was going to be low key there, but yep. It was big, that was what it was.
That's your burner account. You're trying to get him to mention it.
The pitch was massive, man. Oof. You don't, your brain still works at the same level, but the body doesn't.
Well, I was going to say, surely that's the issue. The pitch can't have been that big. It's just your legs aren't moving as fast as they used to.
Aye, but hey, the first team players were coming off the pitch saying, pitch is huge. Aye,
it's so what was the setup? So the first team played Roma, and then
last
the
opening of the stadium, and then
played Roma.
Who was? Give me a famous Roma player that played.
The biggest one that was
play because I know him.
Do you? I know he didn't play. Capri. The boy David Pizarro, remember centre mid, he played with City for a bit.
Yeah,
he was spraying the ball for fun all over the place.
The manager was
Capello.
There you go.
He was just bowling about. Just
how did you perform?
Truthfully,
workmanlike.
Because I know, because
right, workmanlike, but scored.
Did you get one of the two?
Notched. Aye.
Celebration. Do you celebrate?
No, I was getting my breath back.
Just wheel away. How is the new stadium? Seriously,
incredible. Really good. The setting of it on the docks, but the size of it, the steepness. Goodison was somewhere that had a brilliant atmosphere all the time, and I think that was probably the biggest driver for the new one. It had to have that, and it certainly does.
What does it hold?
60, 62, 64.
Have they got that season tickets?
Oh, easy. If they want. But see, be honest, see down there now, it's different because tourists generate more money for the clubs by turning up and going to a game. And right, aye.
It's a club. I know I played with the biggest one in England, but if I was picking the second biggest, I'd have loved to play with Everton or Liverpool.
Proper. I think there's a group of them in England.
Toffees, isn't it? Zedcars. I like to run out to Zedcars.
Let's see Newcastle, Villa, Everton. They're proper English clubs that their fans have got. That demand that we constantly talk about.
If you stick in with him, you could get tickets for a game, I think. He'd be able to set you up.
Tell you what you should have seen. Ming and Faddy's rocked a hold all's coming back up the road.
Did you blag? Oh, mate, I love that.
Full of all the gear, is it?
I had a hamper. I'm telling you.
Oh boy, brilliant.
Stephen Naismith spotted walking through Kilmarnock.
Walking the dog with
head to toe in Everton.
He'll have that on tomorrow in the first tee.
Do you know what AS Roma Collection's really on though? Did you swap shirts? Because he wants the shirt.
Wait a minute, taking your top off in the pitch nowadays? No thanks.
Risky stuff, right? So anyway, 01419511025. Let's go back to the phones. Get your calls in. Numerous topics to get through this evening. Let's revisit with Thomas, who's through. How are you, Thomas?
Hi there, Gordon. Stephen, Gordon, how are we?
Thomas,
good.
Yes, firstly, just to say to Stephen, don't worry, mate. I remember you playing for Hearts if Gordon doesn't.
Thank you.
I'm not a Hearts fan, but I do remember it. And also, congratulations on your new role as the assistant manager with Scotland.
Thank you very much.
That's actually why I'm phoning in. I have a point to make regarding the state of the Scotland national team and the future of it, and then I have a question that I would like to pose to Stephen, if that's okay.
Go for it.
So firstly, like I say, hope it goes well for you, Stephen, and hopefully you can make a good start in September in regards to qualifying for the World Cup. I would just like to say, overall, I'm really excited with regard to the future of the squad, with some of the younger players and some of the players who either haven't been in the squad for that long or who have yet to receive call-ups, the likes of Kieran Bowie at Hibs and the likes of Bobby Wales, who's just moved to Swansea and got a goal and an assist on his debut. But on top of that, the biggest excitement for me is the plethora of players that we've got now playing in mainland European leagues. Obviously, the likes of McTominay and Gilmore, and even the likes of Doig, and of course, Lennon Miller, who's just moved to Udinese, as well as Greg Taylor, James Penrice, playing in Greece as of the start of this season. So Just want to say that I'm really looking forward to what the squad can achieve and how we can kick on. But my question would be to Stephen. Obviously, I assume he shares my enthusiasm for the squad, hence why he took the job. However, does he think that this new era of players moving abroad could not only be beneficial for us now and in the sort of immediate future, but going sort of 5, 10, maybe 15 years into the future, the young sort of kids that are coming up just now, do you think that could inspire them to move abroad sort of earlier in their careers and maybe push the national team onto the next level and have us qualifying for tournaments and
achieving
better in them?
Without a doubt, I think we're already at that place. It's not a Lennon Miller at 18. Like, if you step back and think of yourself at an 18-year-old, travelling to a new country, new language, new way of life at this very start of your footballing career is, I dare say, the guys that have went before will have subconsciously played on his mind and gave him the look that it's worked out for them and went into his thinking. I think the with young players now, it's different though. So even when I was coming through, the normal pathway would have been through Scottish clubs, probably moving to England and as a route of development. That's slightly changed in that you would do that when you were you had maybe 100, 200 games under your belt in the Scottish leagues. Now English clubs are looking at Scotland all the time, so probably most of our best talent at younger ages are moving down south quicker, which in some respects is good that they go to clubs with brilliant resources, brilliant, they leave no stone unturned. But what they do miss out on is them matches, which are crucial for you. But I'm really enthusiastic about the qualifying. I think it's the next stage for the core of this squad. They've made 2 Euros. It was a long time making to get to one. We've now done that consistently with the last 2 tournaments. The next stage is getting to a World Cup. I think Hickey coming back, Kieran Tierney starting the season, hopefully he stays fit. And I think the last few years have been a bit stop-start for him. You've got McTominay, who's flourished. Lewis Ferguson coming back for a bad injury, who'll now want to be a mainstay in the team. I'm really enthusiastic, and I think in this group we can produce.
Thank you, Thomas. 0141 951 1025. It's the perfect time to call. We'll do our very best to get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Stephen Naismith and Gordon DL to come together and team up for the full-time teaser. Thanks to David in Glenrothes for sending this in. David says, the English Premier League season kicks off this weekend. Can you name the last 7 Celtic players that have won the Scottish Premiership, having previously won the English Premier League? So they listen carefully, because I know there's a mistake.
Show a heart.
There's a mistake I can see you making in this.
Show a heart.
The last 7 Celtic players that have won the Scottish Premiership, having previously won the English Premier League. So what are you giving me?
Sutton, Schmeichel and Joe Hart.
Yes. Leave it there. Don't need any more for now. We'll not be accepting any further answers. Okay. David and Glenrothes has sent that in to fulltime@clyde1.com. If you want to submit a question, we would love to have you. We are going to speak to Lewis very soon, but let's check in with Dale Eaton, who's at Tannadice ahead of a huge night for Dundee United.
Yes, it's set to be an electric night of football here in Dundee, with the sold-out Tannadice atmosphere building nicely ahead of one of the club's biggest games in recent memory. It won't just be the home fans making the noise, though, with a number of Rapid fans having made the trip to Dundee. A 2-2 draw last week in Vienna sees the tie level, with the winner progressing to a playoff against either FC Goyer of Hungary or AIK Stockholm of Sweden. Jim Goodwin will be looking to turn the clocks back to 1984, when the club beat tonight's opponents 1-0 at Tannadice on their way to a European Cup semi-final. Another night like that is sure to go down in Tangerine folklore. The Terriers have made 2 signings since last week's match, in the form of Julius Eskisson and the return of Lucas Stevenson, but they are not able to feature this evening. It looks like the Terriers line up with Kurochenko in goals, the 3 centre-backs of Iuvo, Kurestesh and Esselink, with Ferry and Savelge at wing-back, a midfield 2 of Kamara and Sibbald, with Waters, Dolcek and Sapsford in the forward line. On the bench, it's Richards, Adams, Fata, Fotheringham, Thompson, O'Donnell, Sturton, Khalil Harding, Constable, Beattie and Welsh. Tassos Seardopoulos is the referee, and kickoff is at 7:45.
Dundee United with the harder of the ties, whatever way you look at it, obviously, because the ties level, it was to each, they did well to come back. You would also say Rapid Vienna are decent, they're a strong European outfit, got to Conference League quarterfinals, did we say last year? So, listen to the team, big atmosphere, big occasion. Can you see them doing it?
I think it's, I would say 50-50. I think if they perform the way they have been, they have got a chance. They've had a solid start to the season, but like you say, these games, especially at home, the feeling of, right, we need to go, we need to home support, can sometimes play against you and you get hit on the counter. I think Jim Goodwin will have that in his conversation before the game. We don't need to go and win this game at the moment, let the game ride out a bit.
I think they've got to be a wee bit more defensively strong. You know, they're losing a few goals. So if they can tighten up at the back, I think middle to front, they'll have enough to go and trouble the opposition. But Orsia Venn, as you quite rightly said, Gordon, they've got a good pedigree. I think that's firmly in the balance tonight.
We're also seeing the challenge, Stephen, we spoke about it with you last week, and what it can be like for teams who haven't been through it before to do the routine, the Thursday, Sunday, and you know, Dundee United went over there, put in an incredible effort, and then put in a pretty good effort at home to Hearts at the weekend, losing narrowly at the end. So does that get harder with every passing game to keep that up?
Yeah, it does. I thought the performance at the weekend against Hearts was good. I don't think there was signs there of that fatigue, but I think where Dundee United sit within the league, the expectation of going in the Saturday and winning isn't as high as what an Aberdeen, Hibs or Hearts, I would say, is, which means you can work from that solid base. We've seen it last season, especially with St Mirren and Kilmarnock. The games are relentless to this first international break, just relentless, constant game. And then when you do pick up niggles with the core of your squad, the level drops, simple as that, and that's where you start to see points dropped.
Hibs is an 8 o'clock kickoff, so do the team news for that in a little bit, but looking forward to that game as well. Lewis is on the line. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, all good in here. What have you called for tonight then?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say a big congrats to Stephen on his new position at Scotland. I've just called about Russell Martin. I'm a Rangers fan. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a young season ticket holder, and I've seen some of the worst Rangers teams you can imagine in my lifetime. But I just think it feels different this time. You know, we've had these bright sparks. We've got bright players. We've got new owners who are evidently capable of running a football club, as we've seen from down south. So I think it's an exciting time. It's not going to be great straight off the bat. You know, Ange Postecoglou, when he came up to Scotland for the first time, had a really difficult period his first 3 months in charge. So we've just got to support the team and not lose the head too much. I think some of the fans can, you know, understandably get really frustrated with the performances on the pitch.
I can understand both sides of the argument here, 100%. There'll be a lot of people in Lewis's camp saying, right, okay, it's a new beginning, new owners come down, new manager. Yes, it hasn't been a great start so far, but we just have to let the team bed in. There'll be new, probably Rangers might make a signing or one or two leaving Ibrox before the window closes as well. So all of a sudden it could be a little bit of a change. Then you look at the other side of it, and as I said, Russell Martin wasn't the most popular choice to become the Rangers manager. And when you start the season the way you started, Motherwell, Dundee, points that you were supposed to take, 6 out of 6, he's taking 2. It becomes a little bit negative. But as I do believe that Rangers fans have got to be patient and stick with it.
See, what I would say, two big differences, and I think Lewis is right in saying the new ownership can't be underestimated. And it's not just a new owner coming in and having a play about with a football team. They have got a history of being at previous clubs. On top of that, the way they recruited the manager wasn't just on a whim. At Leeds, Daniel Farker came in. He has a specific style and a specific way of playing. Did not hit the ground running with Leeds at the start. Didn't even get promoted last season. Then they stick with him. It goes on another season, and then they're promoted to Premier League. So these understanders, I can
confidently say there's not going to be any knee-jerk reaction from Rangers. The way they've went through their process, they think Russell Martin's the right man for them. The frustration's clearly there because you must win and the performances are up and down. That's the biggest frustration at the moment.
Lewis, is there anything that is giving you particular hope at the moment?
I mean, I think simply the quality of the players. I think we have all seen Gassama's quality already in the European stage. I think there's also, we've got Nicholas Raskin, who was phenomenal at the end of last season, Oliver Antman, and I think Max Ahrens is going to become a player for us. I know he's had his critiques already.
What makes you say that? Because I don't mean to be too cruel on him, but I don't think it's unfair to say that he's the one that most fans who call us say that they haven't seen anything from yet. So what makes you?
Well, I was obviously at the Panathinaikos game a couple of weeks back. I thought he actually played quite well in the inverted role when he was coming inside. So that's what I think. And obviously he was outstanding for Norwich a few seasons ago. Round about lockdown, he attracted interest from abroad. So I think that's a guy with ability and potential, and he's shown sparks. But, you know, the guy's not played regular football in sort of the last 2 or 3 years.
I know where Lewis is coming from. He's not impressed me at all just now, but there's plenty of time for him. He obviously was playing the left-back position that people were saying it's not his natural position. He went to right-back. I think what he's sort of a finding hard to now is adjusting to Scottish football, because it's completely different from English football, without a shadow of doubt. Now, I do think the boy has ability. He looks a bit slack at times for me, Stephen. I think if he can get that out of his game, then he could be a good sign for Rangers. You just don't write somebody off. They're just at the club. The expectations at Rangers are completely different from where he's been playing at Norwich, wherever it is. But you've got to look at a club the size of Rangers where the pressure is. We've heard it already. The new Rangers manager's about 4 games in, and already people are saying, this isn't good enough. So players are take that on board as well, and it does become a little bit of a pressure on, and you've got to adapt to that. Look, I think he's come up here maybe with and a lot of people do it from England, they come up with the attitude that it's not as hard as down south, and you become slack for me, and I think he looks a little bit slack. I think if he tidies his game up a bit, Lewis is right there. Sometimes you see him coming in the pitch and that inverted fullback,
that'll be fairly new to him though as well, and that.
But he looks comfortable at times on the ball.
Yeah, right, but where's he? Because he's not going to play left back. It's not a long term solution. Mm-hmm. Is he better than James Tavernier? Will he keep James Tavernier out of this Rangers
right now
team?
Well, absolutely no chance.
I know I'm asking a lot of you, but I know he won't right now. But can you see him ousting James Tavernier from the right back berth?
If he settles down into Scottish football, he's got a great opportunity, because obviously Rangers believe that he's got the ability to come
and
up.
Do you believe
that? What I've seen so far, no.
It's going to be tough.
I think it'll be tough, but he was a young player when I was at Norwich, so attitude-wise and things like that, I think he's got it. I think he is in that stage where he's still adjusting to being a Rangers player. What I would say, though, in the signings is Asgard, for me, is the most exciting signing, and they've not had him.
Not seen
he's
him
been injured, so he'll be big for them.
Lewis, you mentioned again you're excited about, you know, because you think Nicholas Raskin show what he can do, but Is his role within the team up in the air a little bit? I mean,
I think that's a guy who last season was, I think, far and away the best player in the team by an absolute country mile. And he's a young guy. I think he probably has a wee bit of an ego about him, and I think it's just managing a player that might have some attitude problems. We don't know that. I think Russell Martin spoke quite strongly after the Motherwell game. I think he's definitely got a place in the squad. He looked comfortable in an attacking sense. He scored the goal at Hibs last season. He should have got the two, debatably. So he is a strong attacking midfielder, and I think that's what his role is going to be in this Russell Martin team. But it's just about managing players. You know, the club was in an absolute shambolic position last season towards the end, and I think it's not going to just be a light switch that's going to get turned because we've got this new manager, because we've got these new players. This is a culture at the club, unfortunately, for the past few years.
Raskin one's going to be interesting, though, because there's a lot happened with him in terms of selection. There's a lot been said. Russell Martin very honest about how he saw his situation, and I'm definitely paraphrasing, but kind of head been turned sort of vibes over the summer. Joe Rothwell presumably has been signed to play in that particular position. Can Nicholas Raskin do what Russell Martin wants him to do? Because I know what Lewis is saying, but there's a list as long as your arm of players who were good and favoured under one manager, and then it just didn't happen when managerial change came around.
The style's everything. The style is why the manager's there, and the style's what's going to be the thing that's consistent going forward. Raskin needs to fit into that. I think he was one, him or Cherney were Rangers' best players last season, but that was in a Rangers team that was poor. They didn't win anything. They were a mile off Celtic. So as much as that's a bit of praise, that in a lot of the big games, these guys were all missing. So he will need to fit in. For me, I don't think Raskin is the six that sits and dictates play and builds play. I think his energy and he's arriving in the box, his aerial ability, these are the bigger attributes for me. And whether he needs to tailor that energy more restricted in certain areas of the pitch, that I think is what's going to define whether he'll be a big player or not.
Does he also put out fires better than others though as well? And then that's maybe why some fans do want to see him.
Yeah, but you can do that on the eight. Like if you as soon as you lose the ball, Russell Martin's teams want to win the ball back straight away. And I think he's brilliant. His reactions when you turn over possession are brilliant. He closes the space down and he stops the opposition making passes to build.
And that's why I think he finished the season so strongly. I think he adapted his position and his style of play. And as you quite rightly say, he was arriving in the box. He was timing his runs well. I think he can play both. But if I was picking him in my team, I would have him one forward for me, make the runs. I think he could get you goals. I think he could get you double figure goals.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think he could get you 10.
I've seen that from him.
I think he could get you 10 goals. If you played him and a real team playing with confidence, the chances are...
Okay, so he's not the cleanest, but he's in the box. He'll score scruffy goals. He's in it. Like the one at Hibs that doesn't count last season, an example.
So who doesn't play? Or are you just talking more generally? So if you're saying Rothwell plays as a six, you're thinking that Asgard probably... You've got high hopes for him.
I think he can play in the wider positions as well, or further forward as well.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to Lewis. Some interesting points. We will return with the answers to the teaser, hopefully, and build up to kick off at Easter Road as well.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Naismith and Gordon Dalziel are here. They're doing quite well actually on this full time teaser. I could even hear them teaming up during the break, and they're doing quite well. Thank you again to David in Glenrothes for sending this in. The English Premier League season kicks off this weekend. Who are the last seven Celtic players that have won the Scottish Premiership having previously won the English Premier League? So the timing's important here. Kasper Schmeichel, Joe Hart, Chris Sutton. Did you get any others during the break? I think you did.
You want to go with me?
Captain, on you go.
Roy Keane.
Yes.
Right, vice captain, assistant manager. On you go.
Okay, I'll go with the bigger one, the Jarasic.
Oh, yeah, Jarasic. Nice.
Loved that.
Well done.
And the famous song, Yaya Touré, wee brother.
Colo Touré.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Colo not older. It.
Is he?
No, Colo's older.
Is he?
I messed up. Big brother, that was your big build up as well.
Sorry.
Just shows you how far off I am in my sort of time frame with some of these things when it comes to English football. When you said Jarasic, I'm thinking, is he just waiting to drop in that he was part of that Chelsea team that he scored a hat trick against? But
he was long gone.
So there we go.
We'll get one again.
That's all right, company. You're keeping that though, isn't it? Premier League hat trick against Chelsea.
Six them. Against Chelsea, by the way.
I googled
him. Score against Moise.
Do you know his middle name's John?
Because he didn't know I played for Hearts, he's done a bit of research at the break.
That's all you're giving us.
That's true.
You get a hat trick against Chelsea, 51 caps, and you want to tell me his middle name's John?
Yeah. I forgot you played with Norwich as well. You're some player.
It wasn't great at Norwich, but no.
Was that a perfect hat trick against Chelsea, as they say?
It was, aye.
Right foot, left foot, header.
Yep. Header, left, then right.
Okay. Because is there not some.
I started a sub.
Seriously,
you
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Came on after 9 minutes.
Wow, that's a good fact that I bet not many people know about that game.
Keep that one.
Who went off injured?
Mo Besic, a Bosnian player, centre mid.
9 minutes
on, left.
On and scored a hat trick. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate to the manager. Should have started me.
I take it.
He'd have scored four if he'd started.
3-1.
That's brilliant. Mate.
Who scored for Chelsea?
Matic.
25 yards top corner, and it went, see that way it goes 2-1, you're like, oh, he's going to spoil my day here. And then we had 5 minutes to go, we passed it, pass under Martinez, and then all of a sudden it just opened up. Ross Bartley was on it, and I'm thinking he shoots all the time. Just reversed it. John Terry jumped out, he just reversed it, and Berkovic in goal.
Changed days though, because he was telling us at the break he tried to run through on goal at the new Everton Stadium and felt his hamstring going, had to just stop. Anyway, right, let's finish on the build up to Easter Road, because we're looking forward to that greatly for Hibs. They're in a more commanding position. They're 2-0 up. It's just not often our teams come back with a 2-0 lead from a first away leg somewhere like Belgrade. Still not over, you'd have to say. But the team tonight, Jordan Smith in goal, the back three, O'Hara, Bashiri, Iredale, the wing backs, Chris Cadden, Jordan Obita, midfield three, Dylan Levitt, Josh Mulligan, Josh Campbell, and the man who got two goals last week against Partizan Belgrade, Martin Boyle, supporting Kieran Bowie in attack. Do you like the sound of that? Is 2-0 going to be enough for Hibs?
I think they're scored. I think their midfield three is good, solid guys that are willing to hold the ball, take it, Campbell, get forward. I think it's a good team.
I agree. I think they've got goals in them. Another goal, I think, I'll seal that tie for them. Packed house, Easter Road. I fancy them big time.
I thought you were going to do one of your classics there and say 2-0's what I always like to call a dangerous lead. Even though everybody says that, no, you were going to pass it off as your own.
Phrase book, mate.
Seriously, though, it's that old one, isn't it? I mean, what will that mindset be? Do you think score early, kill the tie?
See, that's caution. What's the mindset be?
I know. You can't choose.
I know.
But once it gets to a certain stage in the game, though, as a player, can you start 10-15 minutes
going, right, okay, we don't need to commit our wing backs. Right. But I think what they will emphasise before the game is they'll need to start fast, or at some point in the game, they will need to commit and gamble. That's where we then take advantage of that opportunity they leave. That's what the message will be.
Yeah, I mean, it should be some atmosphere in there, you'd imagine.
Oh, I love it.
Easter Road.
It's one of my favourite grounds I used to go to.
I'm hoping that...
Loved it, mate.
I'm hoping that in time, Stephen will start giving us exclusives about the Scotland squad. But before we get to that stage, Kieran Bowie be one that you think really looking to push, because he was in one of the previous squads there, wasn't he?
I think he will in the way he started the season. But for players, and I find in my experience, see, when you do start a season and you score a couple of goals, it just, you ride the crest of that wave. The international call-up will 100% played on that and made him feel good and gave him confidence. And I think he's different. He's not, you look at him sometimes and the ball might ricochet and then he comes to him and he scores. But that's I wouldn't say that's just luck. I've played with a few players where that's the way he plays. He's good at using his body. He's in control even though the ball looks as if it's not. And I think he's a goal threat. He seems to get chances. Even when he's not been at his fittest, he's got chances.
Producer Jay sent me a message. This shows you the generational gap here, because you won't understand any of this. This is going to be like different lingo
to
you.
If it's Jay, I don't understand.
He
Jay
says that he had Stephen Naismith's special card on FIFA 16 after that Chelsea game. Right, over you, your head.
I don't know what that is. I mean,
there's one person's got that in their house, it's you.
I don't think
it's online.
You don't physically put it in your house.
Sorry. I don't know, man. 2 seconds ago, you're going, I don't know what that is.
I don't really know what it is, but it's on a FIFA game.
Not on my day. You got the chewing gum, you get the card out. That's not what I'm saying.
What was it?
Bubblegum.
The greatest moment of your long career on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, remember, was when Jamie Murray came in and said that he used to collect your football sticker. Remember that?
Him and Andy used to fight over my sticker.
Well,
were you a shiny?
You've embellished a bit, but you were delighted when he said that, weren't you?
You used to get the shinies. Did you get them in your day?
The shiny coins?
No, the shiny stickers.
No, that was, I think he was before the shiny signs.
No, maybe
roundabout.
The best player would be a shiny and a badge.
Anyway, enough. Right, you've got one more to get in the teaser. The last 7 Celtic players to win the Scottish Premiership, having previously won the English Premier League: Schmeichel, Hart, Toure, Yarosik, Keane, Sutton.
Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City. These are the clubs that must beat a Leicester, because the other ones that won the league.
Must be a Man United player. Celtic.
Actually, is former Manchester United player.
Yeah.
Now better
young
known.
Young player.
Now better known. Man U. Now better known for presenting daytime TV. No, presenting daytime TV shows. You've got Roy Keane.
Oh, I was thinking Robbie Keane. We were thinking Robbie Keane, were we not?
Who do you...
Dion Dublin.
Dion Dublin.
Yeah.
I was going to get
him. You've got the winner. No, you said it.
Thank you.
You get the winner.
There you go. Thank you, Stephen Naismith and Gordon DL. Thank you for all your calls. Can't wait to hear how Hugh Keevan's anniversary went. Said no one ever. But we'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and we will see you then. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. All the best to the two Scottish representatives. Hopefully they can get through, and we'll reflect on it tomorrow.